But that idea that the family, it's where we learn how to be humans.
Yes.
It's where we learn how to be humans.
That's
so we can't have, so therefore, we can't be fully human if the family's broken. All right, welcome into the Deacon and the Doc podcast. This is episode 9.
Yes.
We're getting down to the end, and I'm detecting from our pre-episode conversation, Deacon Mike, and this is, by the way, this is the Doc, Thaddeus Romanski, and on the other mic is the Deacon.
Mike Beauvais.
I'm detecting that maybe this is your favorite of the four constitutions. Or was just the portion that y'all discussed last time some of your favorite material?
I think more of the latter, that this portion of Gaudium et Spes was so important in what Vatican II was attempting to do, which was to change the conversation. How does the church speak to the world? And of course, Gaudium et Spes is a constitution on the role of the church in the modern world. And so this is this portion. Everything up to this point was basically preamble.
And it has that unusual title of pastoral constitution.
Yes.
On the church in the modern world.
Right. And so this was, you know, the shepherd side of things.
Yeah.
You know, how do we guide people? Because again, the church doesn't dictate. Right. The church never imposes, it only proposes.
Right.
And so Gaudium et Spes is not only intending to educate Catholics, but to demonstrate that there is a role for the church, and there will always be a role for the church in culture itself. Matter of fact, Gaudium et Spes refers to the church as the soul of the world.
Yeah. So, what do you think it was meaning by that phrase, "soul of the world"?
Well, because the church provides the meaning of what it means to be man. And if we lose the meaning, then we lose the structure. The same way that without our soul, we're animals.
Mm-hmm.
It is our soul that provides meaning as a human being.
Right.
And so Gaudium et Spes sees this exactly the same way as the role of the church in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That you can take the church out, but you stop understanding what it is that we are as people.
Right.
As cultures. And why it is important to even have cultures, which is one of the points of this section of Gaudium et Spes. What does culture provide?
Yeah, now I'm thinking too also, I'm not a Thomist, but I do know that St. Thomas Aquinas wrote that the soul is the form of the body.
Yes.
And so in a similar way, the church is the form of the world, perhaps? It's the,
yes.
It's the principle. That it's the life-giving, animating principle of the world? Could it be trying to say that as well?
Yes, I think that's a very good way of putting it. And when you read the reasons why the document states they feel this is the case, you quickly understand that they're not far off, that this is truly the only way that we're going to stay tied to what it is that we are as human beings.
I mean, I suppose in a real way, we can see that as the church has receded in culture and its influence in culture and its visibility in culture and its ability to shape minds and hearts, that our cultures have come to be characterized as, what did John Paul II say, a culture of death. Not a culture of life, not a life-giving,
life-affirming
culture, but rather one that is deadly. That it is, it's demographically projected to die out.
Yes, but also culturally, dying out.
Right,
and again, as I mentioned, the
I think emphasis. If we can stay on this point just a little bit more, I honestly think it's so instructive that the raft of superhero movies and the raft of remakes that you see in Hollywood over the last 10 or 15 years, what that has always suggested to me is that it's out of ideas. They've exhausted all the creative powers of human storytelling because they're not tied to and really shaped and influenced by a life-giving ethic.
Actually, I would differ with that on the point that if you look at every one of the superhero movies, what you're looking at is a Christological protagonist.
Oh, I don't doubt that, but it's that they're not coming up with any new stories.
Yes.
They're just recycling material or remaking films from the past.
Yes, but the whole reason they're doing this is because we have lost sight of the true Christological protagonist in our culture.
Yeah.
And we're supplanting it with superheroes because we know that is who we are as human beings.
Right. It's part of that God-shaped
self-sacrificing.
Right.
And every one of the superheroes, they're all willing to sacrifice themselves for the common good.
Yeah.
And yet we, as a culture, poo-poo the need for a savior, and yet we glorify a savior in the imagination.
Right. And there's a way that the human spirit and the human mind knows that those are good stories. They're attractive stories, and so they want to use them and employ them for entertainment and for profit. But there's an unwillingness to admit or maybe realize why they're so attractive and why they're so engaging. And that's because they were produced when there were still whiffs of Christendom. There were still writers and artists who couldn't help but be influenced or shaped in some way by Christendom and Christian culture. And so that's just some armchair cultural commentary here on my part.
Well, but since we're on that topic, I've always found it fascinating that in spite of the fact that we have lost sight of a fundamental right from wrong, good from evil understanding in the world, we have superhero movies based on the notion of self-sacrifice, which goes against everything our culture stands for, which is basically look out for number one.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet we glorify self-sacrifice. So we have that nascent comprehension of who we are created to be like, whether we admit it or not. Well, back to Gaudium et Spes. But this is all linked because this is, again, Gaudium et Spes' intent is to provide a new way to communicate what it is that the church is. And I might say superhero movies are one way that we can still do that, that we can communicate with the culture about things that the culture would understand and tie them back to our faith. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to, if we can jump to number 62, that's where this is page 292, the Gaudium et Spes is actually talking about culture, the arts, and it says some pretty interesting things. For one, efforts must be made so that those who foster the arts feel that the church recognizes their activity and so that enjoying orderly liberty, they may initiate more friendly relations with the Christian community. The church acknowledges also new forms of art which are adapted to our age and are in keeping with the characteristics of various nations and regions.
Yes, one of the themes of this portion of Gaudium et Spes is the importance of cultural identity and incorporating it into the life of the church. And so this holds true for art also. Every culture has their own art form, which can either detract or add to our understanding of our faith. Mm-hmm. And so what we need to be able to do is appreciate the art of the culture in those areas where it adds to our understanding of the faith and nurture that, which is something the church has done through the ages, is nurturing the arts in order for them to help communicate the faith to people who are not necessarily going to pick up a book and read it.
Mm-hmm. And I think when we, you know, some later paragraphs in this section 62, it says, may the faithful therefore live in very close union with the other men of their time. May they strive to understand perfectly their way of thinking and judging. Let them blend new sciences and theories and the understanding of the most recent discoveries with Christian morality, the teaching of Christian doctrine. I'll go down a little bit more and then make my comment. Theological inquiry should pursue a profound understanding of revealed truth, so revelation, divine revelation. At the same time, it should not neglect close contact with its own time, that it may be able to help these men skilled in various disciplines to attain to a better understanding of the faith. Okay, so that's those paragraphs and those passages, I think that's another one of those instances where you cannot just jump into Gaudium et Spes and read that and say, oh, that's dicey language, blending new sciences yes. with theology, because that's where that intertextuality principle comes in.
Yes.
You have to remember that Gaudium et Spes is writing that and saying that because it's already said what it said about divine revelation in Dei Verbum and what it said about the truth and the nature of the church in Lumen Gentium. And so you have to read those lines in light of what you know that the Second Vatican Council has said about the church, about divine revelation.
But the point—
Do you see my point?
Yes, I understand your point. And it's certainly correct that, you know, you have to understand that Gaudium et Spes is in response or in congruity
right.
with the other documents.
Right.
But the whole point of Gaudium et Spes is how does all that get communicated to the world that is not following?
Oh, exactly.
And so what the point they're making is how do we use the technologies, the advances of science to aid in the communication of the faith mm-hmm. to the world. And one of the things we discussed in our session was the fact that if you look at Word on Fire, mm-hmm. and I love listening to Bishop Barron explaining how he first got onto the World Wide Web, and he publishes things on Twitter and YouTube and things.
His YouTube movie reviews.
Yes. And then he suddenly gets feedback and he realizes that a lot of it is negative. Mm-hmm. And at first, of course, as human beings, we're heartbroken.
He's pretty downcast
yes.
to begin with, yeah.
And then he realizes that this is an opportunity to engage with people you would never engage with about the faith. And this is what Gaudium et Spes is talking about. How do we find new technologies to engage the world and talk about the faith? Evangelize. Mm-hmm. And it's calling all of us to do this. But one of the wonderful comments in there is that while it does say that is the role of the entire church, this is especially necessary for pastors and theologians. Mm-hmm. That they need to know what is going on in the world so that when they preach, when they write books on theology, they're able to communicate to the people in language that they're going to understand. And it is prescient. It is truly prescient.
Yes, and I those are well noted, and I agree completely with you. And I on the other side of it, it's the importance of understanding that when Gaudium et Spes is saying blending the sciences and the knowledge of today with theology, that's not an opening to it's not an opening to make to make changes that are not in continuity with tradition to theology, to church doctrine, et cetera, et cetera. That's not what Gaudium et Spes is talking about.
No, in spite of the fact that people have taken it to mean that.
Right.
But again, in that section of Gaudium et Spes, it makes a very clear point that we believe in the separation of faith and reason.
Or the distinctiveness, the distinction.
Of faith and reason. But that both of them lead to the truth if we pursue them honestly. And this is the problem that, you know, we tend to be disingenuous about what science can tell us.
Right, right.
But also that sometimes we fail to see that faith only takes you so far.
Right.
And so we have these two great methods of discovering the truth, faith and reason.
Right. I think, was it John Paul II who talked about faith and reason being the two wings that lift the human
spirit.
Spirit towards God.
Towards truth.
To truth, right? And then it was Benedict XVI in his Regensburg address when he gave that example of the Byzantine emperor speaking to the Muslim Ottoman caliph, that point that if we don't have reason, then there's no way that people of different beliefs or faith backgrounds can engage and speak to one another. Reason is our lingua franca as human beings.
Right.
And then obviously, you know, St. Augustine famously saying faith precedes understanding, right? Yes. It's not understanding doesn't lead to faith.
No. And again, the whole notion that we're created in the image and likeness of God. What distinguishes us from other animals is intellect and will. Intellect is what leads us to reason.
Right.
Our will, hopefully, is informed by faith.
Right.
And it allows us to choose what our intellect directs us towards based on what is good and true.
Right. The fall ruptured that perfect alignment between our intellect and our will.
Exactly.
Now they're out of alignment or they're bent.
Right.
Right.
And so this, again, is the whole purpose.
Concupiscence.
Concupiscence is what ruptures. But the whole purpose of the human being is to come to the perfect balance of intellect and will, where our intellect informs the will and our will informs our intellect.
So I suppose to kind of wrap up, you know, Gaudium et Spes in this portion of it, and we really didn't get a chance to really get into the nuts and bolts of it, but so be it. You know, your contention is that these are the rubber meets the road kinds of passages talking about how Catholics and the Catholic Church should propose Catholic truth to a world that may not be interested in listening, doesn't want to listen, actively wants to silence.
Yes, but it also raises all the points that, you know, should be part of the conversation, the importance of the family, the importance of marriage, the non-negotiables of infanticide, abortion, all these sort of things that, you know, the church teaches. And it doesn't change the teaching. It says, how do we communicate this to a world that's not listening?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I loved this. I got to get this in. This, but I think I might not. 52. Gaudium et Spes 52. The family is a kind of school of deeper humanity. But if it is to achieve the full flowering of its life and mission, it needs the kindly communion of minds and the joint deliberation of spouses, as well as the painstaking cooperation of parents in the education of their children. But that idea that the family is a school of, it's where we learn how to be humans.
Yes.
It's where we learn how to be humans.
So therefore
we can't be fully human if the family's broken.
Oh, and
right?
That is demonstrated every single day in our culture. We lose our humanity the more we break up the family. If you want to look at all the horrible things that we see happening every day in our life, shootings, stabbings, bombings, all of them are related to the breakup of the family. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Gaudium et Spes would propose that children who are deprived of the masculine genius and the feminine genius of their own parents are not going to be fully human. That's why every child deserves a relationship with their mother and their father.
This is what makes the family so important, because without it, society breaks down.
Right. If families are characterized by abuse, society is going to be characterized by abuse.
And the only way to change it is to revert to what the church has always maintained is the basis for a healthy society, and that is a healthy family.
And that comes from all of us, each one of us, pursuing holiness, as Lumen Gentium teaches, and recognizing that Christ is who reveals man to himself. Gaudium et Spes 22.
Who we are as human beings is defined by the incarnation.
Well, that's a great place to end. To end on the incarnation is always a good place to start and end things. And we want to thank you again for listening. This has been the Deacon of the Dock podcast, and we'll talk to you again next time.
All right. See you then.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Deacon of the Dock podcast. If you've enjoyed it, please consider going to redsearadio.org/donate and supporting religious education for the domestic church.